Didn't take them long to forget what they'd been through, did it? And it's hard for me to get my head around, because there's always something that they can complain about. We are so blessed. This is not coming up as big as I want it to. Today I want to speak to you about the sons and daughters of Yehovah to become students learning by the Ruach. The sons of Yehovah in the days of Moshe didn't learn. They weren't prepared to learn. They were too interested in grumbling and wanting things the way they were. But they had the Ruach with them morning and night. They could see it. They could see the amazing things he did. But they weren't prepared to accept them and learn from them. So let us go to slide 2, if we might, please. To Numbers, or Bamidbar 10:33-36. So they went out from Yehovah's mountain and travelled for 3 days. Ahead of them on this 3-day journey went the Ark of Yehovah's covenant, searching for a new place to stop. The cloud of Yehovah was over them during the day as they set out from the camp, and the Ark moved forward. Moshe said, "Arise, Yehovah, may your enemies be scattered. Let those who hate you flee before you." When it stopped, he said, "Return, Yehovah, return, Yehovah, of the many, many thousands of Israel." And further down in chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "But the people began complaining about their hardships to Yehovah. When Yehovah heard it, his anger flared up, so that the fire from Yehovah broke out against them and consumed the outskirts of the camp." So I want to begin at a point in Scripture which refers to two things of the blood of Yeshua, and the two things that he accomplished for believers in order to lead us to the significance of the above text of what we've just read. If we go to Revelations chapter 1, verses 5 to 6, it says, "And Yeshua the Messiah, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the earth's kings, to him, the one who loves us, who has freed us from our sins at the cost of his blood, who has caused us to be a kingdom, that is, Kohanim for Yehovah, his father, to him to be the glory and the rulership forever and ever." Amen. Now, there was two things the blood did. The blood freed us from sin, and at the cost of Yeshua's blood and his life. And it caused us to become a kingdom. And this is a kingdom of Kohanim for Yehovah. So I'm not just a Kohen or a priest, as they might call it. We all are. Amen. Every one of us is equal. Malachi and I, or Minister Sean, or whatever, yes, we're ordained ministers, but that doesn't mean that you are any less than us. And that same scripture, just so that we get the message, is repeated in Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 to 10. "And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals, because you were slaughtered. At the cost of blood, you ransomed for Yehovah persons from every tribe, language, people, and nation." That includes every one of you. "You made them into a kingdom for Yehovah to rule, Kohanim to serve, that they will rule over the earth." Now I know that the earth at this time that we are in wants to push our belief, and as believers, everything we believe in aside. But Yah's word is true. His word is pure. And it doesn't matter what the world might think. It's what the word says is what is important and what we should stick to. And yes, we're going to have people come against us. And I've said this before, yes, we lose friends. But are they really our friends if they won't listen? If they won't accept us as we are because we have a different opinion? Everyone is entitled to their opinion. Just because ours is different doesn't mean they have to shun us and turn their back on us. Redemption corresponds to having been freed from our sin, according to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. And of course, the blood is mentioned as having done this, as well as having made us a kingdom of Kohanim or priests. There are accounts in scriptures that state how we must overcome these two areas in our life. Can we go to the next slide, please? In Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, it says, I will let him who wins the victory sit with me on my throne, just as I myself also won the victory and sat down with my Father on his throne. Yeshua was speaking to the messianic community of Laodicea in this part of the letter written by Yochanan. He rebuked them for being lukewarm, blind, poor, wretched, and naked. This was not literal, but it was spiritual. And he said, if they overcome, they would sit with him on his throne. What do you suppose they had to overcome? Well, he said they were lukewarm, blind, poor, wretched, and naked. I believe they had to overcome themselves. Because they weren't where they were supposed to be at. These people had not come to grips with the first purpose of the blood of Yeshua. They were redeemed and purchased by Yeshua's blood, but they were still not their own. They could no longer do their wills aside from Yeshua's. They still had their will in practice and not Yeshua's will. Can we go to slide 7, please? In 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20, it says, don't you know that your body is a temple for the Ruach HaKodesh, who lives inside you, whom you receive from Yehovah? The fact is, you don't belong to yourselves, for you were bought at a price. So use your bodies to glorify Yehovah. It was the blood of Yeshua that brought them and bought us. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15 it says, and he died, that is Yeshua died, on behalf of all, in order that those who live should not live any longer for themselves, but for the one who on their behalf died and was raised. We have to live according to Yah's word and according to how Yeshua was that example for us. There are too many believers out there that who want to turn the world upside down for Yeshua when they have not allowed themselves to do first things first. And that is submit wholly to Yehovah. Observe his Shabbat. Observe all his mitzvot found in the Torah. To me, this is one key that can prevent them from being overcomers. Unless they obey and live by his word, they will never overcome. They won't overcome themselves, let alone overcome the trials and tribulations of this world. The second overcoming aspect provided by the blood is as follows in the next slide. In Revelations 12, 10-11, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now have come Yehovah's victory, power and kingship, and the authority of his Messiah, because the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them day and night before Yehovah, has been thrown out. They defeated him because of the Lamb's blood and because of the message of their witness. Even when facing death, they did not cling to life. Overcoming the very accuser and enemy of our souls is something that the blood has enabled us to do. This corresponds to the second provision of the blood, making us a kingdom of Kohanim or priests. But until we overcome in an agreement with the first accomplishment of the blood in redeeming us, we cannot hope to be used by Yah to overcome principalities and powers that the adversary will send our way. And he does send them. And the point is that when he sends them, we have to recognize this. We have to recognize it's an attack of the adversary, and we have to tell him to go. We have to stand in our faith, and we have to stand up against him. And the adversary doesn't have to be a person. The adversary can be a situation. The adversary can come from the government. The adversary can come from anywhere. But we have to stand on our own faith. We have to stand in our belief in Yeshua. And the time is coming when what we say and what we do will be banned on this earth. The time is getting there closer and closer. But we have to be prepared to be that Kohanim and to die for it if necessary. What we do, what do we need to do to overcome? We have to overcome, one, ourself and our own mind that gets in the road. And we have to overcome satanic powers and principalities. And this can even be sickness. I woke up this morning coughing and spluttering, sneezing, not being able to breathe. And I thought, I'm not taking this. I refuse to receive it. I got up, read my Bible, did normal, and I'm normal. Nothing's good. There's nothing there. And yet I woke up and I couldn't breathe. But I refused to receive it. And I won't. I've got a beautiful granddaughter, and she was in a concert on Thursday night. And sitting behind me was this person coughing and sneezing and spluttering. And I thought, you shouldn't even be here. And I'm thinking, how do I protect myself? Thank you, Yah. I just said, Yah, I cover you. I get you to cover me. You're going to protect me. I'm not going to get whatever that person has. Because it was being fired straight at me. And I refused to receive it. When I woke up this morning, I thought, no way. You're not going to do that to me. It's gone. And so it has. When we overcome self, we can overcome other things in the world and even powers sent by the evil one. Being effective is overcoming the exterior things. But we cannot be effective until we overcome ourself. We don't allow ourselves to receive it. With all our doubts, our inefficiencies that we think control us, we can overcome them. Here is an example of people who are not even believers, let alone submitted to Yah's will, who attempted to overcome the adversary to no avail. I want you to notice the element of taking the work upon themselves to do rather than hearing from Yah to do it. Can we go to the next slide, please? In Acts 19:13-16, it says, then some Jewish exorcists who travelled from place to place tried to make use of the name of Adonai Yeshua in connection with the people who had evil spirits. They would say, I exorcise you by the Yeshua that Shul is proclaiming. One time, seven sons of a Jewish Kohen Gadol named Sceva was doing this. And the evil spirit answered them and said, Yeshua, I know, and Sha'ul, I recognize, but you, who are you? The man with the evil spirit fell upon them, overpowered them, and gave them such a beating that they ran from the house naked and bleeding. These men were not believers. They were Jewish sorcerers. Talk about not being submitted to Yah. They were even going against Yehovah's Torah. But believers who are also not submitted and simply do their own will and are not faithful to Yah, not disciplined in prayer, will never be successful in influencing their world around them. Plainly put, unless you submit yourself to Yah and recognize He has redeemed you and serve Him and His word only, then can you hope to overcome the works of the evil one. Can we go to the next slide, please? In Yaakov, James chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, therefore, submit to Yehovah. I'm not telling you anything that's not in the word. Submit to Yehovah. Take a stand against the adversary, and he will flee from you. You've got to be bold. You've got to do it. You've got to stand up for yourself. The first part of the above verse corresponds to complying with the fact that Yeshua redeemed us and we're not our own. That's by submitting to Yehovah. Only after we overcome self and submit to Yah will we be able to stand against the adversary for him to flee. The scriptures teach us to walk after the Ruach, or the spirit, and not after the flesh. Can we go to the next slide, please? In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, therefore, there is no longer any condemnation awaiting those who are in union with the Messiah, Yeshua. And in verses 5 to 8, for those who identify with their old nature set their minds on the things of the old nature. But those who identify with the Ruach set their minds on the things of the Ruach. Having one's mind controlled by the old nature is death, but having one's mind controlled by the Ruach is life and shalom, or peace. For the mind controlled by the old nature is hostile to Yehovah, because it does not submit itself to Yehovah's Torah. Indeed, it cannot. Thus, those who identify with their old nature cannot please Yehovah. And here is what I obtained, where I obtained the title of my message, and it's in Romans 8:13-15. For it says, if you live according to your old nature, you will certainly die. But if, by the Ruach, you are putting to death the practices of the body, you will live. All who are led by the Yehovah's Ruach are Yehovah's sons and daughters. For you did not receive a Ruach of slavery to bring you back again into fear. On the contrary, you received the Ruach who makes us sons and daughters by those whose power we cry out, Abba. And that is, dear Father. Now, Abba is a word in Hebrew that can only be used to your blood father. Your father-in-law can never be your Abba. Only your blood father can be your Abba. And that is why I think it's a beautiful way to express our Heavenly Father. And I don't know whether you've heard recently, but the Catholic Church, even though every one of them is called Father, they want to take Father out of God's name. As a Messianic minister, I've come to see many, many believers who are genuinely saved that are not living a life as though they were actually sons or daughters of the living Yah. They are not led by the Ruach. The things they do because they are believers are mostly the things done out of mimicking or watching others and knowing what to do in that manner. The decisions they make are in the same way sinners the decisions they make are made in the same way that sinners make their decisions, simply by going what they think is best out of human reasoning. They carry through in decisions just as a sinner would, without explicit direction from Yah. The reason that is because they really do not believe they can hear from Yah. They think that's only for special people, or that they can receive divine direction. They may be given somewhat of an effort to hear from Yah, but never got anywhere, so they gave up. Maybe they've never overcome themselves so as to really be able to be directed by Yah, since they continue to lead themselves instead of allowing Yah to lead them. Such people will never be effective in the world for Yehovah. When Romans 8 says that they who are led by the Ruach of Yehovah, they are the sons of Yehovah, it reminds me of a Tanakh scripture's description of some people. And it goes back to Malachim Bate, or 2 Kings 4 and verse 38. And Elisha went back to Gilgal. At the time there was a famine in the land, and the guild prophets were sitting before him. And he said to his servant, "Put the big pot on the fire and boil some soup for the prophets." Now, a guild prophets were actually students of prophets. They were learning how to prophesy. That's who the guild prophets are. They're the prophets that are studying to be prophets. They were in what is equivalent to a Bible college or a yeshiva today, and they were learning how to hear the voice of the Ruach and are being taught by Yehovah. When we disregard the teaching of Yah, maybe after having attempted it and felt we were getting nowhere, then we simply seek what we think is the best direction and decisions to make. We are not being led by the Ruach in such cases. We are being led by the flesh. The flesh becomes the source of our decisions, and our flesh figures out what would be the best fleshly thing to do, or fleshly wisest thing to do. This is human reasoning. We try to be operating through our faith in all of it, but it's still the flesh that makes the decisions. And this is the case in many, many instances, even with preachers and so-called men of the cloth and women of Yehovah. But we need not fear. If we follow the Ruach, if you are a child of Yah and genuinely saved, and you love Yah with all your heart, your soul and your might, like we are taught in our Shema, and say it every week, you can hear from Yah as much as Elisha was able to. You have more on board than he did, actually, in regard to what Yeshua has done for you to receive the Ruach. He didn't have Yeshua and received the Ruach. You can hear from Yah, you can be led by his Ruach. Ministers, as I said, are often considered as the only ones who can hear from Yah, and this is not scriptural. It's as though everyone else has a break from the need to hear from Yah. So many people would chat with me about decisions and even ask me what Yah is speaking to me about their situation, as if I've got all the answers, and I'm sorry, I don't. I just have to say to them, I can pray about it, but you need to pray and you need to listen what Yah is saying to you. Ask him. Give it to him at night before you go to sleep. See what dreams you have during the night. See how he speaks to you through your dreams, because he will. And if you're not getting anywhere, then renounce the shame before you go to sleep. Renounce any shame you might have, and then ask Yah the question, and you'll find he will give you the answer. It's got to happen, because if you truly are obeying his word, he will hear you and you will hear his voice. You also have to realize that when you hear his voice, it often sounds like your own in your head, but you still act on it. Because if you don't, you might be disregarding his word. and you might be disregarding him. I know I've heard his voice as a male voice, and I've heard it, which sounds like my voice, in two separate, you know, in different occasions. But I do hear it as a male voice when he really wants to get something through to me. I can't answer other people's, make decisions for other people. That's not my job. We're all adults. We all have to make our own decisions. I can guide you. I can direct you on how to get the answer. But I can't give you the answer. Israel, I'm not a prophetess. I never said I am. And so therefore, I'm not a fortune teller either. And I don't ever want to go in that area. So I can't always give you an answer. Israel would not move in the wilderness until a pillar of cloud moved first. And that represents walking in the Ruach. Can we go to the next slide, please? In Shemot, Exodus 40, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of Yehovah filled the tabernacle. And in Bamidbar, Numbers 9, 16 to 23, which we read today. So the cloud always covered it, and it looked like fire at night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tent, the people of Israel continued their travels, and they camped wherever the cloud stopped. At the order of Yehovah, the people of Israel travelled. At the order of Yehovah, they camped. And as long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they stayed in the camp. Next slide. Even when the cloud remained on the tabernacle for a long time, the people of Israel did what Yehovah had charged them to do and did not travel. Sometimes the cloud was a few days over the tabernacle, according to Yehovah's orders. They remained in the camp. According to Yehovah's order, they travelled. Sometimes the cloud was there from only evening until morning, so that when the cloud was taken up in the morning, they travelled. Or even if it continued up both day and night, when the cloud was up, they travelled. Next slide. So whether it was 2 days, a month or a year, that the cloud remained over the tabernacle, staying on it, the people of Israel remained in camp and did not travel. But as soon as it was taken up, they travelled. At Yehovah's order, they camped. And at Yehovah's order, they travelled. They did what Yehovah had charged them to do through Moshe. When Israel left Mount Sinai for the first time after receiving the 10 words and the rest of the Torah instructions for Yah's people, it was only then that the pillar of cloud lifted from the tabernacle for them to start moving. They'd already received their instructions. And in Bimbar, Numbers 10, 33 to 11, 1, which we read earlier, the Hebrews departed from the mountain of Yehovah 3 days' journey. So they didn't go far, they only went travel for 3 days. And the Ark of the Covenant of Yehovah went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. It was the ark that went to search out a resting place. And where was Yah? In the centre of the ark. 3 days was not that far a journey to walk. There is a place Yah has for us that is called our rest. And we learn that in Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, let us be terrified of the possibility that even though the promise of entering his rest remains, any one of you might be judged to have fallen short of it. We can miss it. Yah will lead us there, but we can miss it. We have to be alert. And in Messianic Jews 4, 3 and 5 further on, for it is we who have trusted who enter the rest, our Shabbat rest. Okay, that's the beauty of Shabbat. We know because of Shabbat we're in our rest. It is just as he said, and in my anger I swore that I would not enter my rest. He swore this even though his works had been in existence since the founding of the universe. For there is a place where it is said concerning the seventh day, and Yah rested on the seventh day from all his works. And once more, our present text says, they will not enter my rest. We must believe in order to see this occur. I promise you that you may get somewhere when you make your own decisions that you will not rest, but you will not rest in that place. When you make your own decisions and they come through the flesh, there will be no rest. There will be no peace. Because that's what rest is. Rest is shalom. It's complete peace in your circumstances. Shalom doesn't mean peace as in no war, no tribulation, no troubles, everything's honky-dory. Shalom means that you are completely at peace and content in your circumstances, no matter what's going on around you at the time. This is why we need Shabbat. This is why we have a day that we can come and just rest, spend time with like-minded people, knowing that there's no turmoil here. We're at peace, we're at rest, we're united as one family with one another. This is one of the important days, times of being in of Shabbat, of being in that peace and in that rest. And Yah has led each and every one of you to this place. Can we go to the next slide, please? In Philippians 4:11, I have learned the secret of being full and being hungry, of having abundance and being in need. I can do all things through him who gives me power. It is Yah who gives you the power. Shaul depended upon Yah's strength. He also knew that he was always in Yehovah's will. But he had to learn in order to live like this. And it may be a very dangerous place to be in the natural. But Shaul had different experiences apart from being blinded. Some were varied for him, both bad and good. But he learned to be content. He had a faith in Yah that since he sought Yah's will and Yah answered, that whether he was in danger or safety, he was in Yah's will, and he learned to be content. I do know that he suffered far more than any of us have ever suffered for our faith. Can we go to the next slide? In Numbers 10:34 to 11:1, it says, the cloud of Yehovah was over them during the day as they set out from the camp. When the ark moved, Moshe said, arise, Yehovah, may your enemies be scattered. Let those who hate you flee before you. When it stopped here, he said, return, Yehovah, for many, many thousands of Israel. And in verse 1 it says, but the people began complaining about hardships to Yehovah. When Yehovah heard it, his anger flared up, so that the fire from Yehovah broke out against them and consumed the outskirts of the camp. When the cloud moved, Moshe signaled to all Israel and told them to start following. And this meant for the sojourner as well. When we're talking about Israel, those who came out of Egypt, as we call them, the sojourners, were the Egyptians that came with them. They didn't want to say that, and there was a lot of Egyptians that came with them. So Moshe made a very faithful statement. He set the arrangements of the march in order. In the next slide. In Bamidbar 10:12-14. And the people of Israel moved out in stages from the Sinai desert. The cloud stopped in the Paran desert, so that they set out on their first journey in keeping with Yehovah's order through Moshe. In the lead was the banner of the camp of the descendants of Yehuda, whose companies moved forward over his company, was Nachshon, the son of Amminadav. Yehuda went first. He wasn't the firstborn. Then he was followed by Reuven, who was the firstborn. Ephraim, who was from the last born, and Dan. And the Ark of the Covenant went on ahead. And when the Ark went, Moshe had faith. He put his trust in Yah's hands. He knew that all the enemies of Yah would be scattered. We have to learn to make Yah's enemies scatter. We have to learn to tell the enemy to flee. To go into dry and arid places is where I always send him. Why? Because there's nothing out there he can get into. I'm not putting him into somebody else or any other situation. I'm sending him to a place where there's nobody there for him to annoy. He knew it takes faith for us to do that. But we have to activate our faith. And I've said this many, many times, faith is like a muscle. And if you don't use it, it'll wither away. We have to use it. Moshe knew the place where Yehovah would lead them was where Yehovah wanted them to be. When we choose our own destination, then we lose the blessing. After 3 days, the ark rested, and Moshe knew that Yah would return to be with his people. Moshe saw the pillar. That was his indication. Remember, Yah was invisible. Yah is a ruachal being, his spirit. But Moshe did receive a sign. It was the pillar of cloud. So when the pillar stopped, that's where Yah wanted them, no matter what they thought the position or location looked like. Now, this was only a 3 days journey, as it says in Bamidbar 11:1, but the people complained. They were not leading themselves in the way they figured they should go. They were not accustomed to walking after the Ruach. So they complained. Especially in this self-gratification world we live in today, all we hear is complaint. If it's not my way, they complain if we don't do it the way they want it done. And children seem to be telling the adults what to do instead of the adults having jurisdiction over the children. Yehovah knows where to lead us, but everybody's path is different. He knows where we should be in any decision that we make. But the flesh does not see the things the same way as Yah sees them. And although the flesh will always lead us astray, people are often too fearful to follow the Ruach HaKodesh and simply do what they're used to doing and follow their own wisdom. You need to pray and get into fervent prayer until you break through and hear from Yah. Do you need an answer for something? I believe some of you have major decisions to make and attempted to figure out the decision on your own. You can hear from Yah about it if you will fervently pray. Maybe you prayed and you still haven't heard an answer. If there's no answer, don't move. Wait until you get the answer before you move. You either do not pray fervently enough if you don't get an answer, or Yah is saying no. No answer can often mean no. Stay put and pray some more, and he will give you the answer. The answer might cripple the strongest part of your flesh, the will to walk its own pathway. And no one wrestled with their own flesh more than Yaakov did when he wrestled with Yah so hard that the thigh of Yaakov experienced a sinew to shrink. And he was left, and it was in the strongest muscle of his leg. And in those days, they walked everywhere. So he was left with a limp for the rest of his life. So stay put and pray some more. It might cripple the strongest part of your flesh, the will to walk its own pathway, but you will break through. We have to pray until we break through this urge of the flesh to lead us in our own way. We need to seek Yah until we hear from him. We have to pray until something happens. We have to push through. I was once called a bulldozer. I'm not joking. I was in a church and there was this prophet that had come over and they made me stand up, pointed straight at me, told me I was a bulldozer. It didn't matter how high the wall, how thick the wall, I would push through it. And I would win. I would break through the enemy's power. And that's just the way I've been all my life. I will push through. I will not complain. I will not to Yah about it. I just know that he will come through with me. My timing isn't his timing. Sometimes it took 18 years for me to break through. But I broke through. So I'm not asking you to do anything I haven't done. Because Yah is faithful. And he wants to be there for each and every one of you, no matter what you have to push through at the moment. In the next slide, in James 5 and verse 16, it says, therefore, openly acknowledge your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Pray for the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And verses 10 and 11, as an example of suffering mistreatment and being patient, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of Yehovah. Look, we regard those who persevered as blessed. You have heard of the perseverance of Eov, or Job, and you know what the purpose of Yehovah was, that Yehovah is very compassionate and merciful. And in the next slide, in Messianic Jews, Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 11 to 15, it says, however, we want each one of you to keep showing the same diligence right up to the end when your hope will be realized, so that you will not become sluggish, but will be imitators of those who by their trust and patience are receiving what has been promised. For when Yehovah makes his promise to Abraham, he swore an oath to do what he had promised. And since there was no one greater than himself for him to swear by, he swore by himself and said, I will certainly bless you and I will certainly give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham saw the promise fulfilled. Abraham wasn't as faithful as he should have been because he did go ahead of Yah in getting Ishmael. He didn't wait like he should have, but he soon learnt from that mistake. People lack patience for waiting for Yah's direction and move outside of his will. They can act religiously and carry on with such outward mannerisms of a believer, but they are not walking after the Ruach HaKodesh and are afraid to do so. People move their families and make other major decisions without even hearing from Yah about what his will was about such a thing. So many people do not stop to consider Yah's will, but are so accustomed to leading their own lives, they simply choose direction for themselves. And that is what walking after the flesh is in plain terms. Let us learn to walk after the Ruach HaKodesh and make no major decisions without direction from Yah. As with the pillar of fire and the cloud in the wilderness, if Yah does not speak to move, don't move. If it is a year and he has not spoken, then do not move. If he speaks and says move in the middle of the night, then move in the middle of the night. Someone asked me once how we can know if it is Yah is speaking and not our own voice in our own mind. So I replied that if you fervently prayed and refused to move until you receive word from Yah, then you will simply know. You will know like you know like you know. There is absolutely no doubt. And one of my most favourite phrases is, if in doubt, leave it out. If you've got any doubt at all, you don't go there. We cannot predict how Yah will speak, but just know that he will. He will do it in his way and let you know that it was definitely him who spoke. So that's all I've got on that message for today. We'll now go back to the remembrance service.